I'm Adam.
And I'm Mike.
Welcome to The Dad Experience,
a podcast where dads can connect
and openly share stories.
Here's what to expect on this episode of The Dad Experience.
I believe that the path to being good partners and good parent is, you know, is really within. Like, you can't be a good partner and a good parent if you can't be aware of the story that's going on in your head, you know, what you're telling yourself and what you're feeling about what's going on around you.
The Dad Experience.
Welcome to another episode of The Dad Experience. Another episode, another great guest. Today's guest that we have on the show is Anna Joannis. Anna is a documentary filmmaker. Her work includes Generation Meds, Fresh, and the fantastic documentary that we're going to talk a little bit about today, Wrestling Ghosts. Before she was a documentary maker, she was a lawyer and founded Real Youth, a video production company, video production program for youth coming out of detention and other underserved youth communities. So welcome, Anna, to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Great, great. So we always start The Dad Experience off with asking, who lives with you at home? What is your household? What's the makeup of your household?
So we're five all together, my husband, Ori, and I, and then three girls, a five-year-old, a seven-year-old, and a nine-year-old.
So you're really busy.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that sounds busy. We have two, and that's busy. So I can only imagine it just keeps going and going. How do you guys kind of manage the houses? Because you're outnumbered now. How do you guys handle that?
I don't think we have a handle on it yet. We haven't. I don't think we've figured out. I mean, we take turns a lot. Like, we definitely so we're both immigrants. And so we don't have any family around, and we live in a great community that's really super supportive. But that doesn't replace kind of the model of an extended family around to step in and support and do some of the cooking and childcare and all of that. So we've managed over the year over the years to keep our sanity by taking turns in being with the children so that one of us can have breaks on a regular basis.
Yeah, that I can't imagine. I mean, already having a big household and then being by yourselves, like, you know, we're lucky. My wife and I, we have family close in the area, so I can't imagine what that's like. That's got to be difficult. So more power to you guys for doing that.
Yeah, I think the conditions in this country for raising children are just in general really rough. You know, I live right around the corner from a daycare that really is one of the few daycare center in this area that has early hours. Like, it starts, I think, at 6:30 and then stays open late. And so you have the buses come and pick up the kids to go to school. So parents who have, you know, commutes and have to leave early, drop their kids there at 6:30, go to work, and then the kids get picked up to go to school. And then often after school, they get dropped off again there. And, you know, it's like two parents household where both parents are working, you know, it's without the extended family. I just think in general, the conditions in this country are really hard for families. Not enough support, not enough resources offered, not enough family around. You know, it's a tough situation for a lot of people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I agree with you. And with the ever-changing conditions in the world for us as people and the way we work, it's not 9 to 5 anymore. It's all the time with a lot of things being done online and people working at home and working around, you know, globally. It doesn't work that way. So it's a little bit of breath of fresh air to hear that there's a place near you that kind of does the extended hours and helps out in that way.
Yeah, that's a lot for the children, though. You know, like, all these hours in institutional settings. It's a lot. And then the parents are not relaxed, you know, because we're all, you know, we all stretch too thin and we're all worried about the future because there's no more security, no more sense of security. Even if we're doing pretty well, we don't feel secure. And so we're always stressed.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Which kind of delves into a little bit about the documentary. First of all, I learned so much from watching the documentary Wrestling Ghosts. Can you tell us maybe a little bit of an elevator speech about what is the documentary, or kind of a brief synopsis so our listeners can kind of get an idea?
Yeah. So Wrestling Ghosts is a very intimate portrait of one family. And the idea is that we all, I think, feel very alone in the way that we suck. And I kind of believe that we all think that we suck, you know, like we all, especially as parents, we come short. I think there's no way of, very few ways of not coming short. And then we are very isolated. We don't know that other people are feeling the same or struggling in the same ways. And so this documentary was, is a very, it's a many, many years of shooting with this one family and taking really a deep dive into the reality of being parents in this, you know, and then it's, so that's one thing. And then the other thing is that the way we parent is deeply affected by the way we were parented ourselves. And for many of us, that means, you know, that our parents came short, you know, they tried their best, but they came short. And so we have these wounds from our past that often get awakened when we become parents ourselves. And in this, in my documentary, in Wrestling Ghosts, the main character, Kim, the mom in the movie, she goes in this journey to figure out why she cannot be the mom that she wants to be. And she kind of like peels the layers of her experience, of her, you know, peel the layers of to figure out, well, what's going on and what's underneath this and what's underneath that. And she really kind of look at her childhood and how it's continuing to affect her. And she looks for ways that she can heal from her childhood so that she can show up in her life and with her kids. Because I think that, you know, I just showed this movie to a bunch of very young people. You know, I call them kids because I'm old now, so I get to call college students kids. So I showed it to a bunch of kids, and I was like, I wasn't sure they would relate to it, and they totally related to the movie, which was very surprising to me. And they were saying like, oh, we understand, you know, we understand suffering. And what I think I just keep realizing over and over and over in my life is that we all face this sense of stuckness. You know, we all make the same, you know, every New Year's Eve, we make the same wishes, the same goals for the new year, right? Like, I'm going to eat healthy. I'm going to exercise. I'm going to get into a relationship, or I'm going to get out of a relationship. I'm going to find a good job. I'm going to quit my job and do something that matters to me. Like, whatever it is, we seem to keep repeating and hoping and wishing to do things right this year. But we're stuck. And this sense of stuckness is really what this movie is about. It's like, where does it come from? And it turns out that it comes from, you know, not so surprisingly, from our own childhood. But surprisingly, it's not a psychological thing. The stuckness is actually a real physical phenomenon. Our childhood transforms our brain. It transforms our hormones. It transforms our immune system. And so when we feel stuck, whether it's in relationship or in other areas of our life, it's a real physical thing that can be healed, but we have to first understand it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, it's, first of all, it's a very moving documentary, and I want to give mad respect and props to the family for opening their doors and sharing their experiences and what they were going through. And, you know, you mentioned about looking into our past and kind of exploring ourselves so we can be better parents. Why do you think opening up and talking about, you know, kind of that mental health, or kind of going back in our past to figure out how we can fix things, is so important, especially in today's society?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, you know, unfortunately, mental health is still incredibly, a really stigmatized area. And so, you know, when we suffer from, you know, angst and anxiety and depression, we are not only suffering from that condition, but we suffer from the shame and the isolation that that happens because of the stigma, right? So it's like suffering on top of suffering. And, you know, our whole social media culture of, you know, showing always the best face, or, you know, isolates us further, because we imagine everybody else's life is so much better than ours, because we see all these great pictures of everybody's lives. And so I think that one of the amazing release that happened for people when they watch my documentary is to just, like, that weight of this shame and this aloneness is lifted, and you realize, oh, you know, like, I really am not alone. And then, you know, when you take off the shame, you take off the stigma, you take out the isolation, you take out kind of all of that secrecy, then you can deal with it, you know, because the truth is that most of us have some history of mental illness in our families, or if not our own family, our partner's family or friend's family. So that, you know, it's all over the place. And so if we can look at it, then we can handle it. I mean, there shouldn't be any difference between, you know, like, you know, if you talk to someone and you say in the winter, like, how are you doing? Like, oh, man, I've been really, like, under the weather for, like, a whole month. I've been, like, I had the flu, and I was out for, like, a good month. Like, I've been, you know, I've been barely going to work. I've just really been struggling, but I'm feeling a bit better. You would never have somebody say, hey, how are you doing? Like, oh, you know, I've been depressed. This past month has been rough. I haven't been able to do much because I'm depressed, but, you know, I'm starting to feel a little bit better. I get some medication. Like, why people would never say that so openly, but no. There's really no difference, you know, like, it's just two different illness, two different conditions, you know, with different, you know, we don't have the same level of understanding for different conditions, but, like, it's just, there should really not be any difference. And then people could actually seek support, and insurance companies should reimburse it the same way they reimburse other things, right? Like, they really... We should, at this point in our medical understanding, we should really be treating mental illness the way we treat any other illnesses and give people the same mm-hmm. kind of support. So that's one reason to talk about. The other reason to talk about is that, unfortunately, trauma is a cycle that repeats itself from generation to generation. So the folks, those of us who have grown up with trauma are likely to repeat it. And it's quite tragic, right? Because, you know, when you have grown up with, you know, not super happy childhood, you tend to approach parenting and say, oh, I'm never going to do that, right? I'm going to be a better parent. I'm not going to make these mistakes. And so when you suddenly find yourself to be parents and you can't seem to do it right, you really feel terrible, right? Because you wanted to do it differently. And that cycle, I mean, there is this one scene in the movie, what I think is very, very powerful. You tell me what you think. But when Kim, so the mom in the movie, is with her mom, and her mom shares, you know, like, her really traumatic childhood. Mm-hmm. And there is that moment when you just see the cycle, you know, the inheritance, and how they both are so well-meaning, you know, and that good intention, unfortunately, cannot overcome the damage that had been caused by their own childhood. But there are ways to overcome. We can break the cycle, but we need to do it with, you know, a shitload of compassion and some good tools, you know. And again, unless we talk about it, then how are we going to both have compassion and knowledge of the tools that are available?
No, right. And I agree. It's something that just gets so pushed under the rug, you know. It just needs to happen. And that's why I'm so glad that you made this documentary and are sharing this. And hopefully, you know, that's kind of what we're trying to do too here on the podcast, is just let the guard down and let people know that we're suffering, or we may need help, or we may need right. to just, you know, exist. So I think it's well, so I'm, important that the discussion keeps
happening. I'm so thankful for people like you who are really shining the light on the dad's experience, because, you know, it's really not happening enough. And men have a very specific and significant burden to deal with, you know, like, as most of, you know, again, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think, like, you know, the men, our generation, and still the, you know, I see how the boys are being raised, despite a lot of progress, you know, it's very hard for men to know, to be connected with their feelings, because from very early on, men, boys are told things that disconnect them from their emotion, you know, get up and brush it off. Brush it off. It's okay. You're fine. Mm-hmm. You know, like, boys don't cry. You know, like, there is just don't show emotions. You know, girls like boys that are tough. Like, there's so much messaging that disconnect boys from their emotions. And then when they are men and they're a father, the way that you're a good partner, right? Like, that's the really the irony of it. But the way you are a good partner to someone and the way you are a good father is when you actually know what's going on internally, when you can connect to your emotion. And often when you talk to men, and I talk to all of my girlfriends and my male friends, you know, there is this delay for men. You know, it can be weeks of like between having an emotion and like understanding it. You know, it's very, very hard. Sometimes that disconnect is so strong. And there's this like also this threat of even like approaching emotion because that makes you unmanly, right? So like depending where you are in your journey of reconnecting with your emotion at the beginning, just the thought of doing it could feel threatening to your ego, to your sense of manliness. And then, of course, there's all the like expectation of being caretakers. Like, there is this really powerful scene. So in the movie, Kim is the main character, but her husband, Matt, is a very significant part of the movie, and their relationship is very, very important. And Matt is this kind of like super charismatic, super strong, right? Like competent guy, type A. And at one point in the movie, he kind of breaks down and says, I'm overwhelmed. I can't breathe. There's too much. I can't handle it. I get no support. And you can tell that he has a hard time breathing and he's acknowledging this really intense emotions. And I think that just that scene of like this super strong guy willing to like check in and to talk about him being overwhelmed, like that's a very powerful thing, because, you know, again, we don't see that enough, right? We don't have that opportunity enough. And also watching their relationship, you know, like how that that attempt, like that process of him trying to connect with himself affects his relationship with his wife, you know, that's really powerful too.
No, yeah, it was extremely powerful, and it's great to see that more. And I think my personal experience, like, we're just around the corner when we're recording this to Father's Day, and unfortunately, we still see, you know, there's always the sentimental cards with flowers on them for Mother's Day, but you only usually see. I'm not saying all the time, but usually see, like, you see barbecues or football, and it's seeing that and raising kids through that. Hopefully we can start interchanging that with some more just, you know, deep, meaningful relationships with fatherhood. Hopefully that will help in that aspect too. I'm hoping, because when, you know, our kids see that, or they go buy cards, or they go out and watch TV, that's what's portrayed. So hopefully as we progress, we're seeing it more now. At least I feel like I'm seeing it more on film, and I'm seeing it more in different genres. But hopefully it'll continue to evolve so that barrier is broken down. I don't know if you noticed that too, but it's just something that, you know, I think that hopefully will change
in
the future.
Yeah, certainly. I hope so too, yeah.
Yeah, so this is a good spot for us to take a break. Don't forget that the Dad Experience is a part of the Parents On Demand Network. You can get our podcast, as well as many other parenting podcasts, on their app that you can get from the Google Play Store or the iTunes Store. And stick around after this episode to hear about another great podcast from the Parents On Demand Network. Welcome back to the Dad Experience. Having a great conversation with Anna. She created a documentary called Wrestling Ghosts, and we've talked about parent-children relationships, as well as the couples and your partner's relationship, and mental health. So we're going to kind of get back at it. So what do you think, as far as, you know, approaching our partners, because we talked a little bit about that before the break, where the partners were opening up more to each other. How do you think that we should approach it, as in, from what you've observed, to each other and building a better relationship?
Again, it's a really great question. And I think this is this kind of follows really well, you know, what we started talking about with the way boys are trained as caretaker, as providers, tough and stoic, and often disconnected from your emotion. I believe that the path to being good partners and good parent is, you know, is really within. Like, you can't be a good partner and a good parent if you can't be aware of the story that's going on in your head, you know, what you're telling yourself and what you're feeling about what's going on around you. And if you can then regulate that and choose how you want to respond. So it's all this kind of deep internal work that requires, you know, for lack of a better word, mindfulness and connection with your emotion. So I think the process, like, you know, I know that again, it's like even the framing of your question is like, well, how can we be better partners? You know, which is beautiful. It's a beautiful question. And often that makes the focus to be outside. Well, you know, and often that's how men are addressed. Well, you should make sure that you're contributing equally to the household and equally to your raising your children, and you should make sure this and that. And it's like, you know, those are all really great advice and very practical advice, which I think men thrives on. But I think that, you know, not to dismiss any of that. I mean, you know, those are very important, but that internal work, that work of saying, well, what's going on for me? What am I feeling? You know, like taking, you know, slowing down and listening to my inner voice, like what's going on for me, and then learning tools to become more self-aware and to decide how you want to react to things. That internal work is very, 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 very hard for all of us. But it's even harder if you don't have a practice of being connected with yourself, right? Of like understanding emotions. But that's really the most important work is, which again is part of the reason for this movie, for Wrestling Ghosts, because we don't know what that looks like, that internal work, and we need to have example. We need to be watching it to see it happen. There is a really beautiful scene, or many beautiful scenes, when they're Kim and Matt are in counseling together, and Matt does something that is really powerful in a relationship, is that instead of trying to fix Kim, instead of trying to like tell her what she can do or what she, you know, how can, or even asking what can I do, he just reflects. He just repeats what he heard her say. And he just, you know, make her feel like she's seen and she's heard. And this is really often missing in our relationships, right? Because we don't know how to do that. And it's a very simple skill. It's actually very, very hard to do, but it's a simple concept, right? Like the person says, you know, I'm mad because, or I feel that, and you say, oh, I'm hearing you say blah, blah, blah. I'm guessing that you blah, 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 right? It's like, it's a simple concept, but it's very, very hard to do in reality. So there is a couple example of that in the movie, and you get to like feel how powerful it is to watch him reflect like that. You know, you like, you see it, you hear it, or when the counselor does it for Kim, when he reflects and just, you know, that the relief that happened when somebody feels heard, it's super powerful. And if you ask women, they will tell you that very, very often in our relationship, we do not feel heard. We do not feel seen, because men often dismiss women's experience. Ah, she's so dramatic. She's exaggerating. Ah, she always makes a big deal out of little things, right? She's so controlling, right? Like this is like, there is a lot of this kind of narrative that goes on in relationship. And often we think, oh, that's just me and my partner. That's just, you know, our kind of temperaments that, you know, makes this happen. But actually it's way beyond, you know, one relationship. It's a very much of a cultural issue that men often, not completely, not intentionally, but culturally dismiss women's experience. And women then feel like they're not being seen, they're not being heard, and that escalate the situation. Because like, what happens to your kid when they don't feel heard, right? They go into a tantrum, right? Well, you know, right. Adults are not right. That different. And then when we as adults don't feel heard, we escalate, you know, we scream, we get bigger and louder, so that, you know, it doesn't work. Obviously, that's not how you get heard, but it's unfortunately what happened. Mm-hmm. So I think this is really the work of being better parents and being better partner. It's just all this mindfulness work and this listening work.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, like you said, we try and create those examples for our kids because we know if we do A, then we're going to get B most of the time, but yet we don't use it on each other in our relationships. And it's just even recognizing because at the end of the day, when you look at some of those small exercises that were in the film, obviously maybe the language wouldn't totally be there, but a lot of those same exercises you can utilize within your child parent relationship, just listening and talking and, you know, giving them that voice or
yes,
or that
absolutely. One of my so very important. Favorite book on parenting is called Listen to Your Kids So They Talk and Talk to Your Kids So They Listen or something like that. And it's a really great book. And when you read it, it really shows like how what we tend to do as parents, which really kind of dismisses our kids' experience and what we can do instead that would actually give our kids a chance to really feel heard and, you know, kind of know that they can trust us and shift the relationship with our children. And what I think is really fascinating is that, you know, when I was learning, you know, I was seeing a coach just like in the movie with my husband for parenting. At one point, it kind of dawned on me that like I was learning skills with my kids that I wasn't using even with my partner, right? So like I remember my coach saying, mm-hmm. you know, teaching me the difference between a request and a demand. And she was saying, you know, you can't say nicely to your kid, like, you know, would you please, you know, put this down if you mean it as a command. Like, you know, if you make it a request, then you have to be ready for your kid to be like, nah, I don't want to. And you have to be okay with that.
Right.
If you actually mean it like you have to, then you have to say, hey, this is not a choice. You have to such and such, right? And I was silenced for a while. And I was realizing that like many times I'll say to my husband, hey, would you please grab me a glass of water? Or, you know, could you make me a cup of tea, please? But like, I'm not actually open to no as an answer, right? Like, you know, it's not like, sorry, not right now. I don't feel like it. I'd be like, what? You know, like, just make me a cup of tea. What's the big deal, right? Like, I use a nice tone. I'm polite because I've learned to be polite, but I'm not really in a place of a request. It's a demand. And I was thinking, man, like, how often am I not in a demand place, you know? And I kind of felt really shitty about myself because I was like, I don't think I'm very often not in a demand place. And I was like, all right, well, that's something that has to change because, first of all, that's not a good way to be in a relationship, right? But like also from that modeling point of view, how can I be one way to my husband and then be a different way with my kid? Like, that doesn't make sense, you know? So again, like you shine light to a situation, right? Like you, and sometimes you really learn this stuff from your children. You know, you're like, huh, if it doesn't work with my kid, I'm not sure it's going to work anywhere else either, you know?
Right, right. So, you know, we've talked about mental health and, you know, we've talked about approaching how we approach our partners, how we approach our kids. So we're in relationships. How do we approach our partner or bring that idea to the table of going to seek out, you know, counseling or get help as a couple for parenting coaching or for couples therapy? You know, how do you think you would approach something like
that? Well, that's a really good question. I mean, some people are really not open to it, you know, really not open to it. And, the beauty of a lot of these techniques is that you can really, they're really empowering. So then, you know, even if you wish your partner was on board and you wish, you know, they would just see the need, there a lot of that work you can do on your own and you can start there and then you can see what happens, you know, like, is that enough? You know, sometimes one person doing the work, you know, it changes the dynamic and things can kind of like work well enough after that, you know? And sometimes it's not enough and the work that you're doing on yourself means that, you know, like then you can figure out ways to like approach it again with your partner. But yeah, I think, you know, how do you approach it? I think, you know, maybe you watch a movie like Wrestling Ghosts together and you use that as an opportunity to talk about the issues that you're facing. And, or you start and you have some experience and you try to share them with your partner or you find, you know, I don't know, like so much of that depends on who your partner is. And,
right.
you know, if so part of, like, I feel like it can be also that, like, you know, again, in Wrestling Ghosts, we, all of us are facing challenges from our past, right? Like who's been loved well enough, right? Mm-hmm. Like most of us haven't. I mean, you know, actually some people have had pretty competent families, but, you know, most of us have suffered some level of stress in their childhood, divorce and mental health and substance abuse, alcohol abuse, etc. So we all have stuff from our past that are like affecting us, but it can be that in a relationship that one partner is the one that's really like, you know, the one that's struggling. And then the question can be like, what if they're not aware of it, not willing to deal with it? Like, that's a very difficult question. Like, how do you support them? Or how do you choose whether or not to stay in the relationship, right? Like, those are very difficult questions, but I don't have an answer for that.
But, you know, I really like the idea of, you know, even utilizing your documentary, Wrestling Ghosts, for it, because it does. It takes, you know, a family, the everyday family, and kind of breaks things down as they go. And it's a good way to sit and get kind of a, maybe for lack of better terms, a litmus test on the partner to see if you don't know already, well, what the reaction's going to be after talking about it. That's because it does. It dives into a lot of great stuff that we all need to hear. You know, and kind of flipping the tables onto you. So, you know, you're a parent. What is your favorite thing about being a parent?
Well, I really loved, I don't know if that's a strange thing. I feel like most people, like as the kids get older, they're like, I feel so much better. I have more time. You know, I really love the kind of the yumminess of the early years, that intense love and cuddliness and just the playfulness. You know, I really enjoy my kids' company. I love playing with them. I find the most difficult thing, I think, is the sibling rivalry, like is a constant fighting that they have between them, you know, and that's, and just all the whininess that, you know, as they're getting older, they get whinier and more demanding and whatnot. But yeah, I love the playfulness of kids. I just love their, and I just love the quality of their care for you, you know, like kids love their parents so intensely, you know, no matter who you are, you know, it doesn't matter how fucked you are. Like your kids just really fucking love you. You know? They're like, they just need you in such a like straightforward way. You know, they can't really like, they're not wired to like give you back to like, you know, but they need you. They just really, really, really love you and they want your presence. And it's pretty amazing, I think, at least for me. You know, I didn't get that very much growing up. So like to have that kind of like intense love and desire, you know, need from someone, it's pretty beautiful.
No, it is. And, you know, I'm still in that stage. And those are the things that I look, you know, that I'm always like, you know, this might be the last time I sing this song to my daughter. And it's like, it seems kind of lame, but it's like, there's going to be a last time. And
I feel, you know, when we, at the end of the day, a lot of parents, you know, we're exhausted and it's just like, when can bedtime be over? But I always enjoy like the moment we lay down in the bed with them and they just cuddle with you. And I'm just like, how can I package this? Yeah. Cause like you say, like soon enough, like I'm going to have all my evening to myself. Like they're not going to want to be cuddling. But yeah, I think it's very sweet and special.
Yeah. And, you know, we have a reoccurring segment and it's one of my favorite things because I love just hearing people's experiences, things we can't wait to see or share through our children's eyes, something that maybe from your childhood, and this could have already happened, but something maybe from your childhood that you got to experience that you can't wait to do again and kind of relive. You know, it could be anything from, you know, filmmaking to a book or reading books aloud, anything. You know, is there something that you just can't wait to do or you have done with your children?
I think the only thing that I can really think of that's from my childhood that I'm like, I love that. It's not even from my childhood so much, but I really love skiing. And so I've been enjoying taking my kids out skiing. I feel like for me, the experience has been a little bit like the opposite. It's like I get to do with my kids all the things I didn't get to do. You know, so like it's, you know, we do a lot of outdoors together. I'm really present for them. I do a lot of playing with them and I don't feel like I got this. So I feel like I'm getting to have the childhood I didn't have, you know, more than I'm excited for them to experience it. It's great. And it's also scary because like I'm entering a lot of like unknown territory. I was quite depressed in my teenagehood. I did not like my teenagehood. So like, it's hard to imagine how I'm going to be present for my kids when they're a teenager. Right. But I'm trying to do that internal work that we've been talking about so that hopefully I'll be capable of handling that you know, that reality when they're teenagers and not, and not be still kind of working. I mean, I'm probably going to still be, I mean, we, you know, it's hard to ever finish working on our shit, but like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that'd be enough. Like, I've had done enough work that I'm capable of like being there and not taking stuff too personally because, you know, we all know teenagers need their space.
No, you're right. And, you know, I envy your outlook and be able to reflect on that. And it's something that hopefully, you know, that we can all learn because, you know, it's important for us to reflect and go, okay, this is where it was like when I was younger. How am I going to be? And just kind of doing some self-reflection, which is super cool and something mindful to do. You know, it's very, very awesome. And before we kind of let you know where folks can find you and check out the documentary, I just wanted to give again a special thank you to you and to the family that was on the documentary as well, because, you know, to open up their doors and share with us and let their guard down is so awesome, you know, to be able to do that and be able to have these conversations and maybe more conversations for couples to and families to make themselves better. So I just wanted to make sure we said that.
Thank you. Yeah, the people are very inspired by them. It's actually, you know, we're all so scared of showing our vulnerabilities because we think we're going to be judged and we're going to lose love. When in fact, when you show up and in all of your vulnerabilities and rawness, people actually connect and they relate and they admire you. It's like we've had a lot of community screenings where Kim and Matt were able to be there in person and they get a stand up ovation every time, you know, at the end of the movie, and people come to them and hug them and shake their hand and thank them for what, you know, for their courage and for sharing what they're sharing. So, you know, I think again, that's yet another lesson. I don't know if you know Brené Brown, but she's pretty fantastic. Writer and author and TED Talk kind of famous person, but she talks a lot about, you know, resilience and about the way that we connect through vulnerability and how that's really one of the key to resilience, to happy lives, is to kind of go there, go to these places that we try so hard not to go to. So anyways, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. Oh, no problem. So where can people find you, you know, via social media, and how can they get a hold or go to a screening or to purchase?
Yeah, absolutely. The website is wrestlingghosts.com, plural, wrestlingghosts.com. And if you can, or you can just Google Wrestling Ghosts documentary. And on the website, you can both find information on how to organize community screenings, which, you know, if you're a teacher, if you're a social worker, if you work in foster care, if you work in a university setting, if you work for a clinic, if you're a therapist, like any of these professions, community screenings are really an amazing way to share the movie and to watch it and to get to talk about it and answer questions right away. So that's, you know, highly recommended. But the movie is also available for home use. So you can purchase the movie through the website for less than $8 or more. It's like a pay as you wish with a low price of $8. And it's streaming only, but you own the movie. You can watch it as many times as you want. And I just, you know, ask people that to keep that use to be only a private use and not for community screening, because that is my livelihood. And it's what allows me to keep getting them, you know, to do the work of outreach. So, you know, we need that income for the movie. But what I was going to say is that not only do you get Wrestling Ghosts when you purchase it through the website, but you get also my first documentary, Generation Meds, which is also about mental illness. It's a completely different movie, but you get to have that bonus of watching that too, if you like. And I'm on Facebook, you know, at Wrestling Ghost, Twitter and Instagram, Wrestling Ghosts. And my name is Anna Joannes, Joannes. And, you know, I can also be found on Facebook or Instagram. I do, and my website has a link to connect with me, and I answer all the emails. So if people want to connect, send me an email, they can do that for sure through the website, info@wrestlingghost.com.
Great. And we'll put all that in our show notes too, so people can have, you know, access from their computer or right from their phones. So, well, again, thank you so much. So inspiring. So many great things we talked about today. I know I learned so much. I know the audience is going to eat this up. So I want to thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so, so much for having me. I really appreciate it. And for doing the work that you're doing.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And don't forget the Dad Experience is a part of the Parents On Demand Network. Stick around after the episode to hear about another podcast from the Parents On Demand Network. Don't forget, email experienceanddad@gmail.com. Find us on Instagram, the Dad Experience, Facebook, all alike. Shoot us a message. Have a show idea. Have a question for a guest or have a question for us. Just let us know. And thanks so much for joining us on the Dad Experience.
This podcast is a proud member of Parents On Demand, a network of high-quality shows for families just like yours. Download our free network app on Apple and Android and listen to your favorite episodes on the go.